Countrywide on RTE Radio 1.
Little did Nuala Fitzpatrick know that when she emigrated from Limerick to Holland in the 60s, that it would ultimately lead to a political earthquake. The Dutch farmer movement, BBB, has come from nowhere in political terms to securing the biggest upset in Dutch politics in a generation. Elections this week saw the party become the largest in the upper house and take control of a number of regional assemblies. Bad news, it is thought, for the Dutch government's climate and environmental policies, which the BBB say go too far and that the problem has been exaggerated. The new party is led by Nuala Fitzpatrick's daughter, Caroline van der Plas. In a few minutes, we're going to consider whether a similar movement is now inevitable in Ireland or not, after we hear from van der Plas herself, who I managed to catch up with yesterday and congratulated her on her victory.
Yes, thank you very much. Thanks.
BBB is a very new party to have won such a huge vote just a couple of years after it was founded.
Yeah.
Can you tell me, what is it that you saw in farming communities in particular of the Netherlands that made you think, yes, now is the time for such a movement?
Because of all the regulations, European regulations, of course, but also on top of that, Dutch laws and regulations, which make it almost impossible for farmers to be farmers. But also the difference between the city and the rural areas, and I'm sure you have the same thing in Ireland, there's just a big gap. They don't think of the rural areas. It's like city politics. And we saw that coming. In the end, we were right. But it's also because we also got a lot of votes from people in the larger cities in Holland. It's that people just want a normal life. They want a normal life. They want to have a steady job. They want to have an income. They want to have a beer in the pub in the weekends with the friends. They want to take a holiday once a year. People don't ask for much. And everything that is all the ideas and plans from the EU, from Frans Timmermans, of course, with his Green Deal, all the climate measures that are going to be taken. And things are going just too fast for people.
Now that you have this newfound power, particularly in the Senate as the leader of the largest party, what is it that you're going to do? Is your plan to block climate and environmental legislation that the government proposes, or do you want to negotiate with them to change those policies?
Well, it's not that we want to block everything, but we want to block the coming nitrogen law. Our government want to, disown farmers from their farms.
They want to make them sell the farms.
Yeah, but by force.
Yes.
And if they don't want to change, or if they don't want to help with a buyout on a voluntary basis. And that is what we want to block.
Is your aim to secure better compensation for the farmers who are being forced to sell, or is it to secure a complete change of policy on reducing nitrogen?
We are against forced buyouts. That's what we are against. People have a right to farm. They have the knowledge, and they are being treated like they're a bunch of nitwits who don't know anything. And mostly by people from the cities, they tell farmers how to farm.
Is the BBB more, though, than a party with a single issue, the nitrogen crisis? Because your critics would say that you are just in there because of the unpopularity of one single policy.
No, not at all. And that is, people don't see us as a one-issue party, because we won in all the provinces. In the whole Holland is BVB green right now.
Your critics also say that you are the Dutch Donald Trump. What do you say to that?
No, I'm the Dutch Caroline van der Plas and the half-Irish Caroline van der Plas. Critics want to frame us, you know, as if we are bad and climate change is gonna soar now because we won the elections. Nature is gonna be destroyed. That's just not true. It's
As you say, you are half Irish. Your mother is originally from Limerick by way of Waterford. Do you see parallels between farming in Ireland and in the Netherlands?
I follow Irish farmers on Twitter, and I see the same worries and the same questions. Like, you know, we are food producers. We don't make nail polish bottles. We produce food. This is one of the three first things you need in life, like oxygen, water, and food. If you don't have one of those three things, you are going to die. And why don't we get appreciated enough? Why are people talking about less farming instead of solid farming and sustainable farming? And I think in Ireland, the farmers think alike, like the Dutch farmers. And also the worry, can we still be farmers in the next generations?
Caroline van der Plas, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Yes, and I would love to come to Ireland again soon. It's been 3 years now, also with the COVID period, of course. And I would really like to meet up with Irish farmers when I'm in Ireland.
Pat O'Toole has been writing about Caroline van der Plas's victory in the Farmers' Journal and exploring the possibility of the same thing happening here. And dairy farmer Thomas Duffy is in CEJA, the European Young Farmers Representative Group, so he gets to put his finger on the pulse of farmer sentiment across the continent. And as an Irish farmer on Twitter, he's probably checking his followers right now to see if Caroline van der Plas is among them. Thomas, how close is opinion in the Irish ag community and Dutch farmer feeling, do you think? Is there a similar groundswell there?
There's a similar groundswell, but I wouldn't say it's at exactly the same point. I mean, the drasticness of what has happened in the Netherlands can't be underestimated. You know, you are buying out farmers. I mean, we're not at that stage in Irish, but certainly there is a very deep concern that the direction of travel, particularly around the likes of the nitrates derogation, and that policy, and I think we have to be very clear, policy has fundamentally changed from even my involvement 2 or 3 years ago. And so there are major challenges, particularly in the dairy sector. And in the Netherlands, it's dairy farmers that are massively affected. But just like here, Philip, we're seeing knock-on effects on the tillage sector in Ireland because of changes to the nitrates derogation, which is pushing tillage out of the sector. Similarly, some of my colleagues are tillage farmers in areas that are being affected by these changes. And even their tillage farmers, they're directly being impacted because the value of land is being severely appreciated. Okay. And their loans are then going up as a result.
Pat O'Toole, if you ever wondered do we have anything to thank the British for, it would perhaps be that no Irish government would be silly enough to force farm closures, to force effective evictions before trying absolutely everything else first. So is what has happened in the Netherlands unique to the Netherlands and a government that has really acted in a ham-fisted fashion?
No, it's not unique. It's a precursor, because if we look just this week at the IPCC talking about the need to reach carbon neutrality in 2040, as you said earlier. The land use report, I reported on that this week on the full report, which exploded on, I think we were talking about that a few weeks ago. You have, which shows that the plans that are currently in place for land use, including agriculture, fall miles short of what's needed to get carbon neutrality in 2050. And Thomas was just relaying some of the changes that are occurring on a week-to-week, month-to-month basis within farming, which are showing that the net is tightening. The reality is that what's happening in the Netherlands now is because they've reached the pinch point, and we will reach a pinch point at some time in the next decade unless we develop some kind of transformative technologies to reduce the footprint of farming.
Mm. Thomas, I talked to Caroline van der Plas for a lot more than the 5 minutes that we heard there, and it is pretty immediately obvious that she is not the Dutch Donald Trump. What she's looking for is a lot more sophisticated on-farm efficiencies, incremental change, results-based payments, a lot of what we are doing here. So either are we more sophisticated and inclusive in the way that we're practicing our politics and bringing farmers along, or are we not doing things at the speed that the supremely logical Dutch deem that they need to be done?
No, I wouldn't say so. Rather, what has happened in the Netherlands is a very drastic change forced by judicial review. Ultimately, I think they were on a very similar track. They were trying to manage a just transition. And ultimately, the success of that judicial review brought by an environmental group, an environmental individual, resulted in exactly that. And there is a very deep fear that exactly that is being attempted in Ireland. We see judicial reviews which are attempting to force, rather than a just transition, but rather to force farm closures, rather to force herd, mandatory herd reductions. And if we go down that line, there is no question that that is exact. And I think the depiction of Caroline, because I spoke to my colleagues in NAJK, who would be the Dutch Young Farmers, and one of my questions was exactly, I think, what you asked there, you know, what is their politics? Is it more mainstream? And they said, yes, it absolutely is. It is a more mainstream political party. It's not a solely populist party. There's been attempts to depict them as such, because that, kind of delegitimizes them. But what they are asking for is the same thing that we should be seeing in our politics, a rational, reasonable conversation and an open conversation around not only, and to tie back to your original piece with Gerry Boyle as well, not only how we reach these very ambitious climate targets that we need to reach, but also how do we fund them? And there is no question in my mind that there is a disconnect at the moment, particularly when we see the disenfranchisement around generational renewal and talks of, say, herd limits for grant supports.
Pat, you talked to a lot of our rural independent TDs this week about trying to emulate the success of the BBB. Are they, do you think, likely to come together formally, or do they value their independence too much?
I don't think they may come together informally or semi-formally. It's interesting that the BBB translates literally as the Farmer Citizen Movement. And I don't think that the BBB think of themselves as a typical party. Now, we have seen that once you go into power, and if the BBB go into power, you have to operate differently. It's hard to have a flatline a kind of political party in power. There has to be some kind of discipline. We saw this week Nasa Harrigan lose the whip for defying the leadership of a party in government, which, you know, a party which is much less top down than Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, for instance, would be. I heard Eamon Ryan described as someone said that if he'd been in Cheltenham, he'd have been banned for overuse of the whip, because this is the second time she's been. I thought it was a great line. But if you look at the complex nature of the rural independence makeup, there's quite a broad spectrum. They're in three separate groupings at the moment, and those groupings would have to come together, or one of those groupings would have to recruit potential candidates for the next general election or the next local and European elections, in which will be the first test electorally unless the government falls. And that will come in less than 12 months. So that recruitment would have to happen soon. And even if we look at the eviction bill this week, or the eviction ban bill, the Healy-Ray brothers voted in opposite directions on the government amendment. So that would show just how difficult it would be to get 22 independents to come together. But they are all looking at it and thinking about it. There's no doubt what's happened in the Netherlands has everyone thinking.
Pat O'Toole and Thomas Tuffy, thank you both very much for taking the time to talk to us this morning.